It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right, it is Sunday night. It's 8 o'clock, and it is time for episode 295 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, 51% owner and owner of the title belt, joined by always my best friend, my partner in crime, my lover, Brian. Brian, how the hell are you tonight?
I am. I'm doing well. It's Sunday night. We are doing this. I see friends of the show in the chat already. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one, Ron. I feel it in my bones. Feel it in my bones.
Feel it down in your plums.
In my plums. By the way, I would like to just say a happy belated birthday to you. Your birthday was this week.
It was.
How did you celebrate it? How does it feel to have successfully completed another trip around the sun?
Uneventful. Thursday was my birthday. So I worked after I got out of work. My lady took me out for dinner, and that was about it. Hung out, went to the Philadelphia Flower Show on Friday with the Jardies. They were nice enough to buy me early dinner down there. So it was a good time hanging out with them. And other than that, I'm 53 now, Brian. But the time just
keeps
trucking along. Feels the same. Feels absolutely no different. I think once you hit 40, it just all becomes one big blur.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look. Guy Bannister says, thanks for the invite, Ron. Really appreciated.
Next time. See, you asked about like doing something for my birthday. I don't consider like 53 like a big one. Like we all got together for my 50th. We got together for your 50th. We got together for my wife's 50th. We'll be getting together for Marty Jardy's 50th later this year. So those are like the big ones that we want to celebrate. So maybe when I hit 55, we'll do like another one.
Okay, Ron, stop making it about yourself. It's an excuse. It's an excuse to get everybody in the same room together. So it may not be sitting there saying, whoop-dee, Ron made it to 53. You know, the world has to come. But it's an excuse for me and the lady to come down to Philly and visit you guys, you know? That's the whole purpose of coming down and doing something for it. It's not, hey, buy me presents and celebrate me. And I want to go around the room and everybody tell a story about, you know, the moment they fell in love with. It's just about, hey, let's all do something. That's what it's about. It's about good times.
I'll keep that in mind for next March.
Please do.
We're only 362 days away from my next birthday. So plenty of time to prepare. Mm. In the meantime, let's do drink of the week, Brian.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Who's?
Drink of the week. Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
Brian, what are you drinking this Sunday night?
I went Hefeweizen this week. I am drinking, I don't know if you can see the label here. Kind of see
backsies.
It is from Aslin Beer Company. No backsies Hefeweizen. That's right, Ron. I'm going Hefeweizen. So Aslin Beer Company, all the way. Look at lovely Coney Island. But we're not here to hype Coney Island, favorite local Brooklyn brewery. God bless. Rest in peace. Ron, this is dun, 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 no backsies Hefeweizen from Aslin Brewer Company from Virginia. All right, so we go to the Mid-South, Mid-East South? I don't know. Hefeweizen is a German wheat beer, Ron. Not sure you knew that. That translates to yeast wheat in German. You're part German, aren't you, Ron?
Mostly German, actually, yes.
Which is why we get along so well. It's the type of Weiss beer, which means white beer. This golden wheat beer gives well-balanced notes of clove and banana and was brewed according to centuries-old German brewing techniques. Coming in at a 5.5% ABV, Beer Advocate gives it a score of 87 and says that it pairs well with pork, chicken, beef, and podcasting. This is No Backseas.
Is that the Rhein-Heinz-Gebot? Is that the German beer purity law, if I'm remembering that correctly?
This is good.
All right.
This is good. I'm going to probably be done after two.
Okay.
It feels weighty. But you do get a hint of banana. There is a sweetness in there. You can see, thick as shit. Thick as shit. Thicker than a bowl of molasses on a Sunday morning. Ron.
Yes.
What are you drinking?
So, Brian, as you know, we sprung ahead today. Daylight savings time ended. We lost an hour, but we're springing into spring. We've got hot weather coming up this week in our area, Brian. And for that, we are getting excited for the return of crushable beer season. So I broke out a little early. This is from Omegang up in Cooperstown, New York. Their Melon Falls. This is their Watermelon Kolsch. It's an ale with watermelon puree and watermelon flavor. Cascade down Melon Falls with its easy-drinking watermelon Kolsch, a refreshing beer layered with multiple additions of juicy watermelon puree throughout the brewing process, creating the perfect infusion of flavor and aroma. Crisp, fruity, and the embodiment of a fresh-picked watermelon, we recommend pairing this beer with outdoor adventures and friends. Hidden bonus, you don't have to worry about the seeds. So clocking in at a solid 6%, this is Melon Falls Watermelon Kolsch from Omegang.
Omegang.
Oh, it's good. I remember this from last year. Nice. I would put this 21st Amendment, Hell and High Watermelon, still my favorite watermelon beer, but this would be a very close second. So I am happy that I pulled this out of the fridge. And that I'm drinking it right now with my friend, Brian.
Oh, that is actually my favorite brewery in all of US.
It's I think their wit is like probably one of my favorite beers of all time.
I just bought some of the Hennepin. I got two bottles of the Hennepin. Too. That's coming up maybe next week, maybe week after. Okay. Not sure. Definitely. That might be my beer of the week. I picked up two bottles earlier today. Excellent.
All right. Well, next week is next week, Brian. And this week is time for Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, last week you had a number of beefs. What is your beef this week?
I don't know that you're going to agree with me on this one, but I'm going to take a stand. Taking a stand here, this might be a little controversial.
Okay.
My beef is with our Patreon subscribers.
Really? Why
close
is that?
Close friends of the show. All right. As loyal listeners, as people who have been following, I'm sure that you are aware that I will be doing my colonoscopy this coming Thursday, March 14th, doing my colonoscopy, which means that before I can go under the camera, it's not really under their knife.
Under
really
the anal probe, I guess you would say.
Before they start going feet deep inside of my rectum, I'm going to need to make sure that my little buddy back there is cleaned out, which means that on Wednesday, March 13th, this coming Wednesday, I will be doing my colonoscopy prep, which means I will be drinking a gallon's jug. I think it's more than a gallon of whatever type of laxative. They gave me whatever type of lemon flavor that I could put in, so it comes a little. But I'm starting that at 4 o'clock. And what I said was, listen, this is going to be content for our Patreon. Our Patreons want to know what's going on with Brian's colonoscopy. I don't know if we're going to go live on Patreon, but we will absolutely, I will be recording videos. So I did a poll this week asking our Patreon subscribers, what do you want to see more of? Do you want to see Brian drinking the prep solution, Brian pooping, Brian describing the pooping, or Brian complaining because his butt hurts from all the wiping? Ron, What do you think our Patreons gravitated towards by a score of 50%?
None of the above.
Oh, why would you say that?
I don't know, because I don't know why you'd be so upset otherwise.
That was not an option. That was not an option, Ron. Why? Because I have to do the work. It's very important that I do the work.
No, Ron, 50%. So important. 50% of our Patreon subscribers say that they want to watch videos of Brian drinking the prep solution. Apparently, none of our Patreon subscribers want to see me pooping, sitting on the bowl, or talking about my experience of sitting on the bowl. And I'm disappointed because that was the part of that I was most looking forward to. So I will be putting videos up on Patreon in real time as I'm going through this prep. I don't believe it's going to go on social media, not going to go on Twitter, not going to go on Instagram, not going to go on Facebook, not going to go on YouTube, not going to go on Twitch, not going to go on Sobe, not going to go on Grindr, not going to go.
Okay, story.
Thank you, Ron. So my beef of the week is our Patreons for picking wrong, and they're going to get the content they asked for. It will be videos of me drinking the prep solution. Maybe I'll sneak in a little poop. I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, Janelle brings up a good point. You can't even show people your neck. You're going to show them taking a shit.
I will be sitting on the bowl. You will not actually see me defecating, but you will watch me. By the way, just imagine the amount of sweat that's going to be coming out of my pores.
God. If that's that, I would like to see a picture of how much flop sweat you have going on.
Yeah, seriously. It'll be bad. Ron, what's bothering you this week?
So this week, Brian, my beef is with Virginia drivers. I was down in Northern Virginia yesterday for a member of my wife's family was getting married. They were kind enough to invite us, to include us. So we went down for the ceremony and reception. And I got to tell you, I think months back I vented about New Jersey drivers coming when I was on the Garden State Parkway. Hands down. Yep. The drivers in Virginia, and it's an amalgamation. I want to say maybe it's DC area drivers because there was a lot of Virginia license plates, but also Maryland and District of Columbia. So obviously a ton of traffic. Like we hit a point where we had 8 miles to go to the ceremony site, and Google Maps was saying it's 45 minutes. Outstanding. So bumper to bumper traffic, that I get. But even when the traffic would break up, you still have cars doing an easy 10, 15 miles below the speed limit. Literally, people make decisions about 500 feet past when they should to make a turn or an exit. The number of cars I saw on like perpendicular to the lanes cutting across 5 lanes of traffic because they were in the left-hand side. It was insane. It drove me absolutely mad. And I was never so happy to get out of a state as I was. We woke up early this morning. I'm like, I'm not screwing with traffic. Woke up at 7 a.m., got the hell out of Virginia to drive back to PA.
How long did it take getting out of Virginia?
I will tell you, because we gave ourselves a cushion. We gave ourselves like a good 40-minute cushion and literally got there. The ceremony was at 2, literally was parking the car at 2 o'clock. So it took us almost 4 hours to get down there. A little over 2.5 hours to get back.
So you showed up right as the ceremony was beginning?
So we walk in the church and like literally the bride is there, the family is there, the bridal party is there, getting ready to walk down that center aisle to go to the front of the church. And thankfully, the bridesmaids like opened up a side door and we're like, you can come in over here. And like we snuck up the side and into a pew. But it was But we got there, Brian. We got there and we saw it. Congratulations to the happy couple. So it was good, but God, if I don't have to drive in Virginia anytime again, it'll be too soon.
The real question is, did you and Mrs. Ron, did you behave at the reception afterwards?
We did.
You know, you did.
I was driving. You know, I didn't want to drink. You know, my wife hasn't been drinking that much lately. Did a little dancing, did a little eating. So we had a good time. Left at an appropriate time. Food was okay. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I'm always disappointed by the food at weddings.
It's tough. You know, it's I don't know that I've been to a lot of weddings where the food has been like spectacular.
Yeah. I always feel like, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, I got this, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, this meal. And then you start eating the food and you're like, yeah, no, they, once again, these guys just did not generate a good amount of food.
I will say the dessert is very good.
I think it's difficult to mass produce good quality food. You know, when you're trying to make, you know, 150, you know, pieces of broiled chicken, it's got to be difficult.
This is my when I talk to people about their wedding reception, planning their wedding reception, I don't think enough people do buffets for their wedding dinner, because it's a lot easier to get good quality hot food on a buffet than when you have to like plate up 150 or 200 meals.
Sure.
So if you're out there,
you're saying right, there should be more.
when you start planning wedding number three, sure. I would recommend a buffet.
A buffet.
That's how I refer to it, because I'm fancy.
All right. You are fancy.
So, Brian, what do we have this week? We got a ton of stories. You know what? You tell me where you would like to start this week, and we will do what you
want. I think we should start with our stories of the week.
All right. Fantastic. What is your story of the week that you're bringing to the table?
My story of the week. Listen, you know, it's so difficult nowadays for people to fall in love. And I think it's important for us to acknowledge that, how do I put this politely? That when it comes to love, people, you know, you make mistakes. You make mistakes in love.
You lose your head.
And of course, hold on. Do you have any information about our friend of the show, David Franklin Slater?
I think we have a photo here, Matt. Can you put that photo up? All right, good work.
Do you have a photo of him?
It's right there.
Oh, look at him. He's 63, and he's looking for love.
Really? He doesn't look 63. He looks, I would put him high 40s, low 50s, in great shape for 63.
Well, this is an undated photo. This was when he was currently still in the Army. He's now a retired Army lieutenant who most recently worked as a civilian Air Force employee assigned to the United States Strategic Command, or as we in the business like to call it, U.S. Stratcom. Anyway,
I assume you're telling his story because you want to thank him for his service.
Not so much. He was arrested this past Saturday. He was accused of illegally disclosing sensitive national defense information on a foreign dating site. Apparently, David, he was communicating with an unnamed person claiming to be a woman living in Ukraine and sent this individual secret Pentagon documents about Russia's war in the Ukraine. The U.S. STRATCOM, it's the U.S. Military Combatant Command responsible for nuclear deterrence and nuclear command and control. So whatever documents that he had access to that he did provide this individual on a foreign dating site, it seems he broke a couple laws in the process of doing so. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people are coming to his defense. However, there was one screen, you know, they did release some of the court documents, and he fell for really I feel this is one of the worst scams in the book. He received a message in March of 2022, which I'll read it. Beloved Dave, do NATO and Biden have a secret plan to help us? Another one. Dear, what is shown on the screens in the special room? It is very interesting. This fucking idiot. This absolutely idiot. So the belief is that this was a Russian agent that he was speaking to, and he provided them with top secret American documents. So he is now in jail and hopefully will spend quite a bit of his, well, whatever life he has left behind bars.
Wow. That is, that's military intelligence for you there.
There you go. Looking for love in the Ukraine. Ron, what's your story of the week?
So my story of the week, Brian, we're going down to Florida yet again.
Florida.
We seem to do that. We seem to do that a lot. Specifically to Osceola County, where Sheriff Marcos Lopez apologized after a photo of a dead body was posted to his Instagram page accidentally. We've got Matt. You've got the sheriff's photo. Man, Matt is on fire. So this is Sheriff Lopez.
Matt's doing the work. Matt's doing the
work. So what had happened, Brian, is there had been a missing 13-year-old, Madeline Soto. She was found, she had been missing. Unfortunately, she was found deceased in rural Osceola County. And a day after the body was found, he had put together a post of, I guess it was supposed to be like a professional post. It was supposed to be, you know, pictures of him in his uniform. And I think it was some kind of outreach day they were doing. But one of the photos that showed up depicted the body of someone lying under a brush wearing a green top and blue jeans, which was later identified as one of the shots from when they found the body of young Madeline Soto. In addition to that, Nerva Rodriguez, the executive director of the Osceola County Sheriff's Department, posted another photo. She posted a selfie to her personal Facebook page, which showed her next to Steven Stearns, the prime suspect in Madeline Soto's disappearance and murder. Both photos were criticized online and have since been removed. The sheriff's office falls under the Kissimmee Police Department, who have declined to comment on the situation.
Well, it's a well. You'd think they would have a little bit of a better screening process.
I mean, you can see your photos, whether it's a Facebook post or an Instagram post. You can see all the photos that's going to be posted. Like, you need to be, I guess, a little bit more careful. Like, I think about that time in college. You accidentally posted, I think it was to MySpace because Instagram wasn't around then. But you posted when you had a plunging neckline that one time. And you were so embarrassed.
So embarrassed. So utterly embarrassed. Yeah.
So embarrassed.
It was rough. We'll leave it there.
So Brian, I want to ask your opinion on something, something that's in the news, something that happened this past week. Wow, Allie being very mean, saying MySpace wasn't around when we were in college. Try Friendster. All right, fine. We were on Prodigy on a dial-up bulletin board.
I remember my first 14.4 modem.
I remember my first laptop. I think it was 23 pounds. It really was not easy to carry around.
I remember the first time I sent government documents, top secret government documents, to my Ukrainian female pen pal about the all the great things our government was doing.
So this past week, the armorer on the set of the movie Rust, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in the fatal shooting of cinematographer Halenia Hutchins on the set of the Western movie back in 2021. A jury convicted her after 3 hours of deliberation, finding she was ultimately responsible for the live rounds on set, one of which killed Hutchins when it was fired from a gun held by actor Alec Baldwin during a rehearsal. She was placed into the custody of deputies following the conviction, which her lawyers said she would appeal, and she faces up to 18 months in prison. Brian, what are your thoughts on this?
I think this girl deserves jail time more than Alec Baldwin does, and he pulled the trigger.
Allegedly.
She was in charge with ensuring the safety of all the guns on site. I mean, let's be brutally honest here. There was absolutely no reason why live ammunition was anywhere near the guns that were being used use during a movie. There's no reason. I mean, it just violates all sense of safety. And apparently, and this, you know, from what the prosecutor said, that this young lady and her friends were using these guns for target practice when the when they were not shooting or being used. And then she was responsible for ensuring that there was no live ammunition in these guns. And she did. She failed to do her job. She failed to do that. And as a result, this woman, Arianna Huffington, was shot dead by Alec Baldwin when he pulled the trigger.
Now, during this trial, her lawyers had argued that she was being scapegoated over larger safety issues on the set, including Baldwin's mishandling of weapons. Defense attorney Jason Bowles told jurors, quote, it was not in the script for Mr. Baldwin to point the weapon. Do you think this kind of throws Alec Baldwin under the bus and gives the prosecution something to work with when his trial comes up? Because initially, charges were dropped against him. And then back in January, he was charged yet again with involuntary manslaughter. I don't know when his trial is coming up, but it's going to be interesting when it does.
Well, I just, you know, I kind of feel like he is a guy who is, you know, there was no reason for him to be, you know, they said it was a practice shot. That he was, they were walking through how he was going to be holding the gun. There was, you know, just basic gun safety on a set says, do not pull that trigger.
Now, do you think at this point, Alec Baldwin would prefer some time in jail rather than having to be home with six children under the age of five?
Ooh, you got me on this one. You got me on this one because you're right.
Just throwing that out there. Just throwing that out there. Let's see. Right. What other stories do we have this week, Brian? Again, we try and stay away from the politics, but every now and then it does kind of draw us back. Last week, we talked about some GOP candidates with some sketchy backgrounds. Now we have two people tied to GOP politics that have been charged with murder. Let me see. Matt, do you have these photos?
Murder.
She wrote. First one, we're going to go down to North Alabama. This is Derek Franklin. This is Kyle Hayden Luter. He has been charged with murder. The murder of Derek Franklin Walls. This was after deputies received a call reporting a dead man in an apartment on Capshaw Road. Apparently, the police are saying that this involved sexual torture and then murder. Investigators believe a physical altercation between the two led to Walls' death. In a Facebook post, the sheriff's office said Walls was not shot. So I don't know if that means he was stabbed or bludgeoned to death or what have you. Luter had previously done campaign work for former U.S. Representative Mo Brooks, former U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, and was also back in 2022 the chairman of Madison County Young Republicans.
It's going to be a hard one. What are your thoughts on this? Should he go free? I know you are arguing that he should go free.
Why did you think I was arguing he should go free?
What are you talking about? You said you were right before we did this. You said that he should go free. When Ryan, we were talking about the show, you were like, he should go free.
I was talking about Alec Baldwin, actually. I know you don't pay attention when I talk. It's getting a little ridiculous now.
Listen, I know and you know, we both understand that you are soft on crime. And you believe that it's okay to shoot people and get away with it.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next story. This involves Daniel Rodimer, a retired wrestler who spent some time with the WWE before transitioning into politics. He has turned himself in after being suspected of killing a man in Las Vegas in 2023. He turned himself into Las Vegas Metropolitan Police on Wednesday. He was later released after posting a $20,000 bond. He has been charged with open murder and the death of 47-year-old Christopher Tapp in a Resorts World hotel room last year. Las Vegas police say the two were involved in an altercation that resulted in Tapp sustaining injuries. He was transported to a local hospital, and police say he died several days later from injuries sustained in the hotel room incident. The Clark County Coroner's Office ruled the death a homicide by blunt force trauma to the head. Rodimer was a contestant in the fourth season of WWE's Tough Enough contest. When he didn't win, he later signed a developmental deal with the WWE. After retiring, attempted to move into politics, making an unsuccessful run as a Donald Trump-backed Republican congressional candidate in Nevada in 2020. He would later fall short as a congressional candidate in Texas. And now, charged with murder.
He really does fill out a shirt pretty well. I'll give you that.
He's got some guns. The guy does not skip arm day. No question about it.
I skip arm day.
I skip arm, leg, head, breast, chest, and neck day. All the days I skip them, Brian.
Understood. Okay. Now, from what I read about this story, this was a fight that took place inside of a hotel bathroom.
Apparently, in Resorts World. Not a great hotel if you're going to Las Vegas, by the way. Just a little FYI.
Where is Resort? Isn't that all the way down on the end of the strip that really kind of shit the bed real quickly?
No, it's kind of in the middle of the strip. It's kind of near Wynn and Aria, kind of in that neck of the woods.
Oh. I've never been in Resort World.
You're not missing much. I stayed there for a work conference. Was not that would be a beef of the week if I was at Resorts World, because it wasn't a great hotel. What the hell else do we have here? Too many pop-ups.
So much
like these days. Supporters of former President Donald Trump are spreading artificial intelligence generated photos of him surrounded by black voters to drum up extra support, according to a report. The now viral AI pictures show the former president hugging or posing with smiling black Americans, suggesting the fake people are supporters. We do have, here's one of the photos. Tell you, this AI is getting pretty good. It's very difficult to tell that this is not a real photo. I mean, look at the length of that tie. That is pretty much where Donald wears his ties. And then we have a second one where he's just kind of, this one looks a little bit, I don't think Trump can sit down on a front porch like that, because I don't think he'd ever be able to get back up.
And I've never seen a real photo with him and that many African Americans.
No, not so much. I mean, he does, he will often say he loves his blacks. So this was shared by Mark Kay, who runs a conservative radio talk show in Florida. But he said he denied spreading misinformation by sharing the AI image to his more than 1 million followers. He said, I'm not claiming this is accurate. I just said, hey, look at these photos.
It feels like that's what he's trying to do.
It almost feels like it. I mean, so now, now that your girl Nikki Haley dropped out of the race, now it does look like we are going to have a rematch, obviously, Trump against Biden. How much do you not look forward to the next 8 months of campaigning?
I am hoping that the next 8 months, and potentially the following 4 years after that, it is shameful, utterly shameful, that in the United States of America, that we could not generate better presidential candidates to represent the two primarily, this is a two-party country, that we could not generate a better candidate than Joe Biden and Donald Trump. I mean, besides the fact that this is exactly something that we did 4 years ago. Ron, can you honestly ask yourself, if we're going to be honest, we're going to talk about Biden. Right. Can you honestly say that you're better off today than you were 4 years ago?
I can say I am better off than I was a year ago because I've got that title belt and I've got 51% ownership. I'm working on my taxes this year, and the 2017 Trump tax plan really taking a gouge out of my life yet again. And I'm sure you will feel
Is the pool still moving forward, or are we not doing the pool?
The pool's still moving forward. You'll be able to come soak in the pool, so you're still good with that.
Okay. All right, because I went to Utah once and I soaked a girl. But it was there was a Republican. I wish I wrote it down. There was a Republican operative this week, and I don't want it was in line with the State of the Union, who posted something about can you honestly say that you're better off this, you know, today than you were 4 years ago? And Twitter, or X, whatever the fuck you want to call it now, was literally slammed this woman for. 4 years ago, we were all in a high state of panic over the oncoming coronavirus that was starting to take over the entire country. It wound up doing a very bad job to this country for Gia. Yes, we are definitely in a better place today than we were 4 years ago. This lady just got shot down. But speaking of which, did you watch the State of the Union address that Biden gave earlier this week?
I did not. I did not think there was going to be anything of use. I didn't want to watch it. I didn't want to watch any rebuttals. I just kind of wanted to be, well, that was, and I think it was on my birthday too. I think I was able to be blissfully ignorant of it because I was out for dinner.
It does seem that the rebuttal was quite entertaining.
I mean, she did, what's the woman's name who did the rebuttal? I'm drawing
it. Doesn't matter. We're not here to promote Republicans. We're not, that's not what we're here for.
One thing that people have pointed out is normally when you are tasked by your party to give the response to the State of the Union, like that's sure. usually a highlight of your political career. Mm-hmm. And people were quick to comment how by midday the day after, because she was getting dragged so much in the media and across social media, that she had scrubbed her website and her Twitter account of all video clips of her response to President Biden's speech, because it was so over the top, so fake, and just blatantly wrong in so many areas.
Today, we in America are fighting against Joe Biden and his initiatives, which are ruining this country.
I mean, it almost came across like a white suburban mother doing her best James Brown impersonation at the end of like a 2 hour long set. It was just embarrassing. That actually, how sad of the world that we live in right now, that got more attention than the actual State of the Union address. Like you said, there was nothing in that address that was noteworthy. Nobody was talking about it the next day. We were just trashing and dragging the Republican rebuttal.
Well, and I think the one thing that people said about the State of the Union was everybody was just appreciative of the fact that Joe Biden got through it without like any major gaffes or freezing up or anything like that. So if that's like the bar. Now, one thing I will say, we are obviously not a fan of Donald Trump here, but on Truth Social, he was posting videos that he was taking of the State of the Union address that he was using like Snapchat and TikTok filters on, like the crying faces and freaking hilarious that it was. And you have to, the man knows comedy. If nothing else, sure. He shouldn't be president. He should probably be in jail somewhere. He definitely should be paying off the millions and millions in judgments that have been weighed against him. But the man knows comedy. The man knows how to play to a crowd.
He definitely does. We do appreciate from him.
We just don't want him to be president. That's the only thing. Definitely. As a private citizen, fine. Let him do this stuff. As president, not so much. Brian, I do have a question for you while we're sitting here.
Sure.
What are you watching?
On HBO, You weren't expecting that level of energy.
I wasn't.
HBO, did you watch the first episode of The Regime with Kate Winslet?
I did not. I've heard about it, but I did not watch it.
Do you not support and lift women?
Oh, I do. I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
So you'll watch a show if it has a woman in it, but not if she's the lead character. Is that what you're saying, Ron?
Brian, why don't you just talk to us about the show you watched?
Okay. So Kate Winslet stars as the chancellor of a small European country that has, I guess, seen its better days. And she plays a, you know, the it's not even prime minister. She's basically a dictator in this country who is woefully out of touch with her population and has, you know, based on some medical fears and paranoias, is just completely cut off outside of a, you know, a circle of about eight people. First episode aired a week ago. Episode two is probably going live right now as we are reporting this. However, I'm going to say, you know, it's not quite a comedy, but you get a couple chuckles. It's not quite a drama, but you will take it seriously. I enjoyed the first episode. Going to see how it plays out. Also watched for the first time, you know me, I like to go into the archives every now and then and pull up movies that I did not see when they were first around. Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey. Is this something you have watched?
I have not, and it's one of those movies I've said, oh, I should probably check it out. How was it? Tell me.
I think the only way to watch this is with Neil deGrasse Tyson sitting next to you to explain the physics. So the idea here is Matthew McConaughey, it's Earth in the future. Matthew McConaughey plays a former Air Force pilot who kind of flew space missions, but not really. And, you know, now we live in a time where the space program is now been called out as being faked by American society. It's taught in schools that we fake the moon landings and whatnot. The Earth is now reaching a point where it can no longer feed its people due to a variety of droughts and whatnot. So Matthew McConaughey gets drafted into this space program where he is flying a spaceship through a wormhole next to Jupiter or Saturn. I don't remember which one. Through the wormhole that somehow takes him into another part of space where apparently NASA or whatever is left of NASA have identified like a dozen potential planets for humanity to transplant themselves to be kept alive. And where it gets real confusing is time. And this is where the physics come to play, because he lands on planets where they talk about how every hour on this planet is 7 years that they've spent on Earth time. So at the end, and I'm not trying to give anything away.
Spoiler alert for a movie that came out in 2014.
I was going to say, it's been out about 10 years now.
By the time he returns to Earth, his daughter, who was maybe eight when he left, is now about 85 and is dying in a hospital bed. Meanwhile, he has barely aged.
Wow.
The physics of it threw me for a loop to the point where Mrs. Brian looked at me at one point and was just like, are you following this? I was like, blissfully no. Blissfully no. I don't understand any of what's going on. I know the plot, but I don't understand how any of this makes sense. Right. To the point where I just sat there and was just like, I'm along for the ride. But enjoyable movie. Okay. 3 hours, a little long. Mm. Ron, what are you watching?
So I watched a new docuseries on Netflix this week. Brian, if you remember maybe back in the 90s when Tough Love for Kids became all the rage, like you'd see on like Donahue and Oprah, how they would, people would, if they had a bad kid, they'd arrange for the kid to be quote unquote like kidnapped, forcibly taken from the home, sent off to some school that was supposed to straighten them out. So this documentary, it's called The Program, Cons, Cults, and Kidnapping. And it has to do with one that was in upstate New York, in Ogdensburg, New York. And it was made by this woman, Catherine Kubler, who was at that school, Ivy Ridge Academy, it's called, for, I want to say, 18 months. And the documentary, it's three episodes. A little drawn out, but it's a decent docuseries. But really drags out the abuse that these kids endured. And again, at the end of the day, it's all for people to make money off of children's suffering. But it also really goes into how it has really destroyed the lives of a lot of kids that were in the program. I think one of the things they mentioned is just in that one academy alone, they talked about, people that they have lost, people that have overdosed or taken their own life. And it was about 40 people that the group of them knew. So it really takes a deep dive into, they go back to the school and like when the school closed, they left everything there. Like they left kids' files, they left all this information. So they have like hard documentation of the abuse and everything that was going on.
Sure.
So it's a tough watch at times, but it's an interesting story.
I'm going to take a pass on that. I saw the I saw it on my queue within Netflix and realized to myself that that was the kind of program that would make me feel. That was going to leave me feeling worse than before I saw it. I put it in the same category as that Epstein docuseries that they did, where, it's a terrible story. It's not that I am not sympathetic to the people that suffered as a result of it, but I just don't, I do not want to put that kind of, to me, it's poison. It is emotional poison. Because to me, you end up feeling so much worse. What's interesting is Paris Hilton. Tangentially to this to the story here is that she actually stepped forward as someone who had been taken by her parents and sent off to one of these troubled teen camps and schools. And she started detailing the abuse that she had suffered. And what I found really interesting was how it almost, how it really contributed to the reset of her public profile. That, she had really risen to fame with that, kind of the ditzy blonde character that she had milked so well on that show she did with Nicole Richie.
Simple Life.
That's it. I thought it was The Syphilis Life, but apparently not. No, you didn't like that one? No, I thought it was clever. Okay.
Thank you.
I liked it. But the idea was the fact that, she really had, established herself as this, person that society as a whole did not really hold up. And then when she started detailing the abuse that began, she said, listen, I wasn't into school. I was into partying. My parents were freaking out. They set me off to these and, you talk about tales of the strip searching and the other, types of abuse that you had. Suddenly people started to look at her and they're like, it's, you haven't had this, gilded life. Yeah, sure. You've got a lot of money, but when you're being starved and beaten, it doesn't matter what you have in your bank account. It's still a very unpleasant experience. So when I saw that on Netflix, I just say, not for me.
A lot of her stories were mirrored in the stories of the people from Ivy Ridge. And after we watched the first episode, my wife was like, what do you think? And I'm like, I'll watch the remaining two episodes. I'm like, but I know I'm just going to be aggravated by the end of it because no one who should have been held responsible for any of this will have been held responsible. And sure enough, you get to the end. There were some court cases, some lower level people. Do some time. But other than that, the high level, leadership, the people who made all the money off of this, no repercussions whatsoever. Like
it's the American way.
They literally go out to Colorado where the son of the guy who kind of started this all is running a camp out there, and they just show him doing like karaoke at a local bar.
Sure.
Like he's just living his best life out in Colorado.
Well, the true scam is that whenever there's, you know, any type of, case where a kid gets hurt or, you know, is suffering and the authorities are involved, they shut the school down, they shut the camp down. They just go like one or two states over and start up under a different name, because there is such, you would think that when you take on the responsibility of the well-being of minors, that the law is, you know, absolutely going to be all over you in terms of compliance. And that is simply not the case. Once you can start to label these kids and the legal system is troubled, suddenly, when they die of hypothermia in the mountains of Utah, you can sit there and say, listen, we offered her a blanket and she wouldn't take it. Meanwhile, you did it. You sent her out into the mountains wearing shorts. I watched something similar, it just leaves you.
Your point, all of these schools are interconnected, but it's LLC after LLC after LLC. Yeah. So everything is protected. And, you know, they spoke with a district attorney from Ogdensburg and was like, you know, because this is supposed to be a high school, they're supposed to be getting diplomas. And, you know, the documentarian even asked him, like, wasn't there like some sort of way that a school should have been accredited? Like, should they not have just been able to open up a high school in New York in the 90s? He's like, to be honest, he's like, there really wasn't any way to catch them because no one ever thought that someone would do that. Like, I think back to that other documentary, BS High, about, was it Bishop Sycamore? How, you know, this guy was just able to create a high school to build a football team. And there was no laws against it because no one just ever thought that someone would just start a school and that it would take off and people would spend thousands and thousands of dollars to send their kids there. So that's all I got, Brian. That's all I got. I couldn't watch anything else. It depressed me so much. I couldn't watch anything else. One thing we did see, speaking about suffering, Brian, we saw an article this week where some of the people who attended the near record cold Kansas City Chiefs playoff game in January had to undergo amputations after suffering frostbite. Research Medical Center did not provide exact numbers, but said in a statement that it treated dozens of people who had experienced frostbite during an 11-day cold snap in January. 12 of those people, including some who were at the January 13th game, had to undergo amputations involving mostly fingers and toes. And the hospital said more surgeries are expected over the next 2 to 4 weeks as injuries evolve. The temperature for the Dolphins-Chiefs wildcard playoff game was -4 degrees, and wind gusts made for wind chill of -27 degrees. I don't think I like any sports team enough to sit in that kind of weather.
Not only do I not like any sports team, I cannot understand why I would be going to a sporting event in -4 degree weather and taking clothing off. I would be putting clothing on. I would have hand warmer. But the truth be told is, and I think you just kind of nailed it, where when it's that cold out, why on earth? I mean, listen, obviously these are fans, but like, why would you not want to stay in your warm house?
Support the team,
invite some friends over.
Turn on your TV. Get some Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah. Wingstop maybe. But just like, you know, why wouldn't you just like stay inside and watch that game rather than going to an outdoor football stadium where you are going to be sitting in minus? What sporting event is worth losing digits?
Listen, it's a little chilly in my office right now. I was almost ready to shut the podcast down. I got to turn my heater off so it doesn't make too much noise. I was almost ready to mail it in because it's probably 64 degrees in this office.
Are you at the stage where you're ready for spring?
Very much ready. It's supposed to be, weather's supposed to be in the 60s or 70s this week. Yeah. I'm ready to have some nicer weather, be able to walk outside, not be freezing. And it was snowing earlier. It was sunny out earlier, and then we had 2 snow squalls, and then we had hail.
No way.
Yeah,
Jesus. Yikes. That's before insanity.
Before it gets too late, we do have new stories in what has become one of our favorite segments for our listeners, but the drag queens are the problem. Again, you know, the far right likes to paint the drag queens as being the enemy problem. Of children, being the problem. So let's see if we have any stories here that will back that up. This first story, we are going down to Rowan County, North Carolina. Stacey Lee Austin sounds like it could be a drag name, but let me see here.
What's her name?
Oh, no. Yes. He is actually, he's a Chick-fil-A franchise owner in Southeast Ohio. He has been arrested after he reportedly drove to North Carolina in order to have sex with a 15-year-old child. He is charged with statutory sex offense with a child. He is being held in jail in Rowan County without bond. Sheriff's office told local media that deputies were called to a home on Tuesday for a report of a break-in. A person who lives in the residence tells deputies that when he got home, he found Austin in the home with his teen child. Austin apparently had been communicating with the teen on social media and had driven from Belmont to pick the child up. When he arrived at the home, he performed sexual acts with the teen. Austin reportedly admitted to performing sexual acts with the teen, and a pair of his underwear and some of the teen's clothing were found in a trash can in a bathroom in the home. He then told investigators he, quote, was concerned about losing his job as owner of a Chick-fil-A in Ohio.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Horrible story. Horrible story. Let's see here. Oh, this story is actually from the Philadelphia area. I know, Brian, you tend to take some sort of special glee whenever bad things happen in Philadelphia. So let's see if this involves any of our Philadelphia drag queens. And no, this is actually a Philadelphia teacher. This is Percy Fields, age 32, of Delaware County. He has been arrested and for his role in an alleged effort to sexually abuse and exploit a 16-year-old student at Philadelphia High School for Girls. He turned himself in on Tuesday and is being charged with unlawful contact with a minor, attempted sexual abuse of children, and corruption of minors, among other crimes. The allegations first came to light back in January. The school district said that the teacher was immediately removed from the building back in January, and he submitted his resignation effective March 1st. According to Philadelphia police, Fields allegedly gave a former student money via Cash App to help her buy food at school. Then he allegedly directly messaged the 16-year-old girl and attempted to solicit explicit photos and sexual relations with her in exchange for more money.
Just bad. That's gross. Absolutely gross.
But again, as we like to say,
absolutely gross.
The drag queens apparently are the problem. What other
story? Really the problem? Are they really the problem?
What story do you want to make sure we get to? What story you want to make sure we get to before we get out of here?
I feel like we got time for one last story. And what I would like to address is what I want to talk about is.
Yes. Is it the fart spray? Is it the Las Vegas scorpion?
Yeah, I think the Las Vegas scorpion is the story we should close out with.
I mean, this was one of your favorite stories of the week. Why don't you tell us a little about it, Brian?
Ron, when was the last time you were in Las Vegas?
I think for your 50th birthday.
Ron, when was the last time you stayed at the Venetian in Las Vegas?
Oh, it's been a while. It's probably been about 10, 15 years since I stayed at the Venetian, but a very nice hotel.
Ron, when was the last time you were stung in the testicles by a scorpion while staying in the Venetian in Las Vegas?
I got to say, that's never happened.
Well, you know who can't say that is Michael Farchi, F-A-R-C-H-I. This California gentleman was staying at the Venetian back at the end of December. I assume he went there for Christmas, possible New Year's, got in his hotel bed at the Venetian where he says that he felt a sting in the crotchal region. And what he discovered was that there was a scorpion in his bed. He said, I just felt like somebody was stabbing me in my private area. It felt like a sharp glass or a knife. And apparently, and he did take photos of the scorpion. He was, and in this resort, you would imagine, you know, rooms average $400 a night. This is not a cheap place to go.
Sure.
But this man got stung in the crotchal area. Yes, that's right. Crotchal, where he was stung in the testicles by a scorpion. Ron, what do you think that feels like?
I have to imagine that is that's a pretty high level of pain. I got to put that at probably 9 or 10 on the pain scale.
Same here. I would have to say that there is no level of free nights that the Venetian manager is going to offer me that is going to make me not want to sue that establishment.
No number of free buffet trips. No free cash at the blackjack table.
Hold up on that last one. That last one, you're going to say free plays at the blackjack table?
Maybe. Well, it depends how many free plays you can get.
You drive a hard bargain, my friend. You drive a hard bargain. I don't know about that. That's where I would go.
All right, let's go back down to Florida, Brian. I got one more story.
A Florida
man claims he was attempting to flirt with another traveler when he made a wisecrack about having a bomb in his bag at the airport. Miami native Alan Borinsky, age 70, told police he was, quote, trying to be funny when he made the remark at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport on Friday. He was sitting at gate G11 in Terminal 4 when two witnesses overheard him tell another passenger something like, quote, if the bomb in my bag goes off prematurely, I apologize to your family in advance. The two witnesses became alarmed and reported his comments to police. He was arrested and charged with making a false bomb report, which is a second degree felony. He pled not guilty and was released from jail on a $7,500 bond.
Ron, if there is anything that Greg Fokker has taught us, is that you don't say bomb anytime you're near a plane. Greg Fokker paid a terrible price.
I said, very true. I agreed with you. What was the price, Brian?
Greg Fokker, he got kicked off the plane, if I'm not correct, and was arrested by TSA. You don't say bomb when you're about to get on a plane. I'll be getting on a plane soon. 16 hours. 16 hours flying to Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Mm-hmm. You know, they you're going over to Hong Kong in a few weeks. All I can say is you like to have a little fun. You like to joke around, especially in public. You like to joke around with people you don't know. I feel like Hong Kong's one of those places you may need to rein that in a bit. Like, I can see you somehow ending up in prison in Hong Kong.
Well, the Hong Kong, I think, is fairly wide. It's when I go into mainland China, that's when you have to really worry. I'll be spending a day or two in Hong Kong and then taking a train into proper mainland China. I will be going through customs. I've already been told in advance, leave all of your can we get an answer here? Because Billy says that you get in planes, not on them. But Sherlock says you get on planes, not in them. So can you guys please...
Break it.
Do you get in planes or on planes?
People always say, all right, it's time to get on the plane. Like, I understand physically you go into the plane, but I feel people always say it's time to board the plane. You have to get on the plane now because the plane's leaving without you.
Yes, it's a soliloquy. You're getting in the plane, but you say I'm getting on the plane. I've already been told that once I'm in China, do not post stickers. I'm not allowed to put podcast stickers up on signs and whatnot. I've already been told, no, that's not to be there. I also have been told that I am not allowed to, I probably will not have very little cell service when I'm over there.
Right.
Because Google's down, Instagram's That's down, true. Facebook is down, WhatsApp is down, Twitch is down, Twitter is down. We also, other websites that I will be down is Gmail is down, Google Phone.
This time's gotta stop.
So yeah, so you'll be persona non grata for an extended period of time.
But how good would it be if I got arrested wearing my Ron and Brian podcast hat, so that, you know, when I went into in for, you know, my very first courtroom, and I've got the State Department there, and the media obviously is, you know, taking, you know, my story and ran with it. It's free publicity, Ron. All good publicity.
When you're in the plexiglass box that they put you in the court, I think, yeah, if you have the hoodie, you have the hat, you know, I think, mm-hmm. again, bad press is no press is bad press, as they say.
Sure. Listen, you saw Spy Games with Robert Redford and Brad Pitt. Soo Chow Prison, that's where I'm going. I'm going to Soo Chow Prison because that's where I deserve to be.
All right. Well, I will. I'll say a little prayer for you every time that you're over there. Hey, you know what's coming up in a little bit, Brian? We've talked about our Patreon earlier tonight. You'll be sharing your colonoscopy prep with our Patreon folks.
This week, people.
More importantly, every Sunday night for our Patreon subscribers, we do an extra half hour of content. We will start that about 24 minutes from now. I'm excited about it. We call it After Dark. It is the sexy, mm-hmm. saucy stories that are a little too hot for public YouTube, public Twitter, public Facebook, public Threads, all the other channels that we are on. So if you go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, click in the upper right-hand corner, become a patron, just $10 a month or higher gets you access to the Live After Dark, which again, will start in now about 23 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I think we may have to put together some prop bets for our Patreon subscribers as to if you will be arrested, what charges you will be arrested with. Don't throw things at the pandas, Brian. Those are protected. Like, I feel like maybe we do a list of things before you go. Maybe we just kind of do a list of things things you've been known to do in public. Shoplifting, taking things from restaurants, all that stuff. I think you just need to kind of put a lid on that. For how long are you in China for?
I the whole trip will be about 10 days. I think I'm in there for a full 7. I was going to suggest, would you like to do the pajama party next Sunday? Because I'm not sure what my availability will be afterwards. Maybe we do a pajama party next Sunday.
Perhaps. Let's discuss. And because next Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. So it would be kind of apropos to do a St. Patrick's Day pajama party.
I like it. Wear your best green. I'll be wearing this shirt again. Because it's all the green I have, if you know what I'm getting at, ladies.
I don't know that we
all right.
Anything else this week, Brian, or are we good to wrap up? Episode 295.
Happy belated birthday, my friend. I wish I got to say that to you in person. Alas, it was not meant to be this year because you made it about yourself. But happy birthday. I hope you had a great one. I hope this week has been spectacular. And can't wait to do After Dark with you.
All right. Fantastic. Well, Patreon folks, we will see you in a few minutes. Everybody else, we will see you next Sunday.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again.